Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 282.
Get that microphone. Not going to do what he did last night to that poor, sweet, innocent old 19-year-old girl.
What was that? What are you talking about?
Kanye West taking.
Oh, you know, Kanye West. Okay.
Microphone. Kanye, Kanye. What the hell her name is? The rude motherfucker that interrupted a girl doing her acceptance speech at the VMAs.
That's right.
Thank goodness Miss Beyonce was a bigger person than he'll ever be. So.
That's right.
But you know what? He's got more press off that bullshit than anybody else. That's all they've been talking about all day at work and on the news.
That's how it is.
That poor girl that got murdered in the Yale building.
It's really sad, but it's publicity. What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes. It's recording that we're doing right now. It's the first time for the past 2 weeks, right?
I know.
We haven't talked since the gallery thing.
The gallery thing, that's right. Because we did that. You left.
I left. I went to Milwaukee. I went to Milwaukee for the NAGA softball. It's the Gay World Series, and we lost. we lost. We only won one game, and didn't go through. But I did some videos from there. I still have to do one more video with STP Bear, if you guys know him, Jeff from Phoenix, and I did a recording with him there. So that's coming up very soon, within this week. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I've done. That's why I was away. I've been busy. And how about you, Ray? What have you been doing?
I've been moving.
You've been moving. Yes, he's moved.
I'm all moved. Thanks to your help. Thanks to all my friends' help for the last 2 weeks getting me moved. Mm-hmm. Maynard, thank you for coming, helping yesterday, and helping me finish up moving and getting stuff into storage and out of the house. So I'm officially apartment bound now.
Oh,
so
it's really filled up right now.
Yes, I came home today and put a couple of shelves up so I can unpack some stuff and emptied a couple more boxes. And the sad thing is, I empty boxes, I have nowhere to put them. Mm-hmm. So I got like a ton here that we broke down yesterday, and this morning I got to break down tonight. Then I guess I'll have to haul those to storage tomorrow night when I get home from work, so I have more room to do some more work. So,
Wow, that's so much work. Well, we did enjoy watching True Blood yesterday.
The season finale.
Well, it was a good ending of a season. I think so. They stopped it. Resolved it, and they introduced a new one.
So, yep.
We'll see what happens to that. Anyway, what else would happen? Oh, yeah, I should say, today actually we're recording this on a Monday. It's actually Mike's birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Yes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mike, you big lovable loaf. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, my big lovable loaf is Mike. Yeah, he's he's in Yarns right now, but we celebrated his birthday. We went to Kublai Khan last Saturday. See, he doesn't want any big party, really. So he just wanted, you know, some close friends to come over. So it was fun. We went to Kublai Khan, where we had the Mongolian barbecue, which is nice, which is good. That's the nearest Mongolian barbecue I could get to from where I am, I guess. Yeah. But it's a good suggestion. You're the one who suggested that.
Well, they got one. They're building one off I-10, too, over at, in the Memorial City Mall area. So, but it wasn't open yet. But, yeah, that was pretty close for everybody around here. So, it's good. And it's actually good. I like eating there. So,
yeah. Okay. How about some news? How about some news that we got? Okay, we were just talking about Kanye West a while ago, and I still think he's an asshole. He's a real big ass doing that to Taylor Swift, you know?
You know what? They're jerks everywhere. And whether he did it intentionally and it backfired or what, I don't know. But he got a lot of press.
It worked, whatever he did. He's done it before, you know? Okay, to the listener, if you don't know what happened yet, which probably Probably they
knew. And obviously you hadn't been alive since last night and listened to the news this morning.
Yes, it's in the news and everything. But anyway, it's, you know, Kanye West went, while Taylor Swift was doing her acceptance speech, Kanye West grabbed the microphone from her and she said, you know, basically interrupted her and wanted to say that Beyonce had the best music video of all time, shouting and give it back.
Well, what did she win for? I'm trying to remember now.
Taylor Swift. She won best female performer, I think.
Best female performer, but Beyonce won best video of the year.
Best video of the year. Yeah, so and that's when she had Taylor Swift come off the stage and
do her acceptance speech, and everybody, she got a standing ovation, and it was worth it. So
yeah,
but I mean, people just be crazy.
I know. You know, do you think it's staged?
I don't know. You never can tell. I mean, people do certain things for publicity. I mean, it could have been all planned by their media people. You just never know.
I think,
but whatever it did, they got everybody talking about Kanye.
Kanye. Kanye. Is not. Are you trying to say Keanu? Keanu West. No. Kanye. Kanye West. He's I don't know. I think he staged it.
They got everybody talking about Miss West.
Miss West. Fish sticks. He likes fish sticks. So yeah. It's really sad because poor little girl. You know, she's only 17, and
she ain't no poor little girl.
She's not. Taylor.
No, she rich now. She got all these songs, all these guys want her. She got movies, she got television deals. She rich.
Well, I guess that's true. Anyway, so yeah, Kanye West, you're an a-hole. Okay, next is breaking news: Patrick Swayze died.
Oh, did he?
He died a while ago. A while ago, probably 2 hours, 3 hours ago. Oh, during the day, I'm not sure, but
I didn't even know that.
You didn't know? Yeah.
No, that's sad.
That's really sad. You're shocked yourself. It's really breaking news when we're recording.
I'm one of the people that grew up with him, you know. I mean, he busted on the scene with Footloose, and then he did all these other cool movies.
Okay, it's on TMZ. Patrick Swayze died today after a long battle with cancer. He was 57. Swayze was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in January 2008. His publicist says he died with his family in the side. So he mentioned, you know, he's on his star of Ghost, Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse. And he's supposed to be the sexiest man alive in 1991. But you know,
he also had his own TV show last year, which it was, you know, everybody was like talking about, like, how's he doing that?
Yeah. But you know, the one thing that I really remember him in is Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, when he was a drag queen. Yeah, with Wesley Snipes and what's the other guy's name? John Leguizamo. Yeah, that's I remember him there. I remember him very well with as a drag queen there.
And, yeah, with Miss Noxzema Jackson.
Yeah, and he did pretty well. Anyway, okay, so all right, coming up next is an interview.
A great interview.
Great, it's really great to talk to him and. I wish I've gone to Comic-Con to meet him.
Yeah.
And you got to meet him. Yeah, we're talking about Ed Luce. He's the creator of...
Mr. Bearbait himself.
Bearbait himself. Okay, so let's go on with the interview.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
Hey, everyone. Joining us in this episode is Ed Luce, the creator of The Wovable Oaf. Welcome, Ed.
Hey, Ed. Hello. Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, it's awesome.
No problem. And how's lovely San Fran today?
It's doing well. It's kind of peaceful. We've been sort of having wacky weather as we do in the fall. Everybody thinks that, you know, it's nice during the summer. And actually, usually the fall is the nicest in San Francisco, but not so much. Weird rain. I was completely freaked out of my mind Sunday morning. There's a lightning crack and a flash. And some thunder. I have not, in the 3 years I've lived here, ever experienced that. I'm from the East Coast originally, and of course that's like a way of life there. But here, I felt like a bomb went off.
Wow.
We all have all that fog and stuff that rolls in. So.
Yeah, and I love the fog. You know, that's, and it's very much informs, like, you know, my comic in some ways. I don't think I could do you know, the same comic in a different city, so that there's like that San Francisco flavor is definitely a part of it. But things are going good here. I'm a little crazed trying to finish the second issue in time for mid-October release, and it's just all-encompassing because I do everything myself. I draw, I write, I format it, I do the word balloons and everything. So it's often a very complicated procedure, and I just large parts of my life are being left unattended right now.
Well, you know, you have a passion, so.
Yes, that's what everybody sort of says, and it's true. Passion or insanity? I don't know. It's like a very fine line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a little bit of both, I think, for anything that you undertake. So,
especially anybody that does comics, you have to be passionate about it because it's in some ways so thankless for the majority of people that do it. You know, not that I don't love my fan base, certainly, but in the grand scheme of things, I think a lot of the time indie publishers would sort of share the same sentiments.
Well, that's cool. I guess I need to tell everybody how I met you. Or I found out about you.
Yeah, I was
actually, it all started last year at Comic-Con, Maynard.
Oh, that's right.
Because I walked by the Prism booth and interviewed a few people at Prism last year, and you had the Wovable Oaf T-shirt with him and the pink jockstrap with the kitty on it.
I love that shirt. I have that.
And I bought that shirt from Maynard because the time I saw it, I thought about Maynard's partner, Mike.
Exactly. You know what, Ed? He looks just like my partner, Mike.
That's excellent. Good. I'm sure he's cuter than the oaf. The oaf is like ugly cute. Like he's purposefully sort of got like the mug. But yeah, I hear that a lot of the time. So that's cool. Yeah, he sort of seems to conjure. He looks very specific, but he seems to remind people, you know, whether they're gay or straight, of somebody in their life. And that's sort of really what I was after with the character. Is like, you know, when people say they look like him, I'm like, well, does he have pink teeth or pink eyeballs?
Well,
I guess that's the part that. That's the part that takes it
too. He got out of the box first, so.
Yeah. But the pink and the eyes and teeth kind of take it to a different place, hopefully. So.
Well, he's got the bald head, he's got the goatee, and he's got the hair.
The hair.
I mean.
And the way one of the artwork you sent also was he wrote his name and a sentence on his back. I can actually do that to my partner if I want to.
Cool. Yeah, I can do that to mine too.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
Just like the slightest little bald spot, you know, sticks so far out in relief that yeah. But yeah, the cover of Number Zero, he's shaving Wobble Oaf Number Zero into his back.
Yeah.
That's
right.
So, Ed, tell us how you got started.
Well, it originally just the character itself started out as a paper doll for this paper doll show I got asked
to contribute.
Paper
doll? Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. It was a theme show, and I contributed three designs, and one of them was I wanted to show this big, mean guy. So basically, you know, him in that position on the T-shirt was what the blank paper doll looked like.
Uh-huh.
And then all his clothes were sort of showing, like, what a softie he was. You know, he had, like, a Smith shirt, and he had, like, footsie pajamas, and you know, I just made it, and I made another two. One of them was like an Elizabeth Berkley showgirl's doll.
That's
and
so
one was
cute.
Another one was a zombie doll, but that was the one that everybody sort of had a lot of questions about. And, you know, I began thinking about him and, like, well, who he was. And, you know, I started to write ideas down and eventually just kind of snowballed into the comic. Like, the background history that I had kind of come up with him would be best told as a comic. And I've been buying comics since I was, like, 13. You know, went through art school, had, you know, that beaten out of me by my art professors, like, no comics, you know, you're going to draw this still life or whatever.
Still life.
So it never occurred to me to do a comic. And then I went on to go to grad school and I became a teacher and I beat that out of my students. And then I stopped teaching and, you know, I kind of, like I said, created the character. And then I was like, well, I can finally do this now.
Yeah.
I'm not a teacher anymore and sort of free to do whatever I want. So it started life that way. And, you know, I had always wanted to kind of, I had made the design to actually put it on things, like make T-shirts and, you know, mugs. It was sort of going to be my Hello Kitty in a way, my attempt at a Hello Kitty. So the T-shirt got out there, I would say almost a year in advance of the comic, and, you know, it really took off. I started, you know, hearing people saying that they saw so-and-so on a profile wearing the shirt, and, you know, it was all over MySpace, and,
yeah.
You know, a nice little sort of cultish buzz kind of came around it, and then the first comic book came out, and you know, it's everything kind of continued to snowball from there. So here I am.
Yeah.
It's good when it snowballs. What's Ulf about? I mean, who is Ulf?
Well, sort of the Lovable Ulf is sort of the overarching title for the, I would say, some of the main characters. There are like three primary ones, and Ulf just happens to be the name of one of them. And the first sort of story arc, to use the comic book parlance, is you know, three issues, and it's about the sort of, you know, title character. And it's a love story. You know, it's a romance. I sort of, in kind of making contacts and ties with the queer comic book world, primarily through Prism Comics, which is a wonderful organization that supports, I say queer, you know, it's LBGT, but I say queer to sort of cover everybody, queer comic book artists and cartoonists. You know, I started to expose myself to a lot of this work that I didn't know was out there because I was buying primarily superhero stuff. And I wasn't seeing a lot of images of either the type of guys that I like, which the Ulf represents, or characters like myself who are sort of on the small side. The Eiffel character in the comic is sort of my doppelganger. And I wasn't seeing the two of them ever interacting or relating. So I kind of wanted to tell that sort of love story. I just didn't see that in comics anywhere, in queer comics anywhere. So yeah, the first couple issues are going to be about that, and then I have sort of a character that has ties to fashion. I'm sort of a big fan of Project Runway, so I'm going to kind of be able to say my piece about that. I'm also a big fan of music, and the first three issues going back to that are sort of tied to gay hardcore bands and
oh,
queer
nice.
Bands.
There you
yeah,
go,
there you go, Pansy There's Division. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I get to kind of not only explore this love story, but also kind of touch little little subcategories, subgenres that I'm interested in. In the second issue, there's a character that is a sort of a bad boy chef, a bad boy restaurateur. So the characters are going to go eat at his restaurant. I just get to sort of express little things that I like about, you know, pop culture through this comic medium that everybody kind of understands.
So nice. I'm curious though, what does Ulf like in general?
What does he like?
Does he like bears? Does he like chasers or twinks or what is he?
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Well, that I definitely did sort of in thinking about the sort of backstory of the character. He is a big guy who doesn't like other big guys. There are characters in the story I've come up with that do, but he was sort of going to always speak to my personal experience within the bear community in particular. And it's interesting because I don't know if you guys picked up my Gory Details book at Comic-Con, but in the back there's a glossary of terms, and it sort of mentions the word bait.
Bait?
As an alternative to the word chaser or admirer. In that bait is sort of
I get it.
Being chased.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a chaser that gets chased essentially. So the first three issues.
Whereas
are really,
most of my dates are jail bait. This is.
Whereas like it. The first three issues, it's all about a chaser being chased essentially. You know, the big guy likes little guys. He's sort of, you know, and he's always very self-conscious about his size and how heavy he is and how hairy he is and how potentially smelly he is. And, you know, he's just, there's a backup feature in the comic about worst dates, and all of his worst dates have been like these fears realized, like someone doesn't like him because he's smelly or someone doesn't like him because he's too heavy, or, you know, he gets into all these little sort of conundrums. So he's really hasn't had a very good dating record for the past 5 years until he meets this little guy, Eiffel, who he thinks is going to be tough enough to sort of deal with him, since he has a predilection for little guys. So,
nice.
But yeah, that's who he is predominantly after. There's a character Smusher in the comic who is another Ulf, and he's always after Ulf, and Ulf is like, I'm sorry, I don't like you in that way.
Oh. You know? That is so awesome. It just reminds me of Mike, my partner Mike, a lot. Yeah, I like smaller guys too. Wow. So the setting is in part of the description is in a city. This suspiciously look like San Francisco because
sure.
Yeah, do you plan to make him travel in the future or something?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because the I really love drawing like landscapes, and that artist Tezuka, he created God, the name is escaping me right now. It's like a Astro Boy.
Astro Boy.
Yes, and several other things, but he's his backgrounds are really beautiful. So at some point, I want to have the Oaf character and his adoptive father, Lil Papa, do a cross country trip. They do like an annual cross country trip, and I want them to sort of, I want to see the Oaf in like South Dakota at Wall Drug, or you know, all these are camping somewhere, all these places that I sort of enjoy visiting myself. I want to kind of put him in those scenarios. But yeah, I mean, the main story, as I said earlier, occurs in San Francisco, and I think is very much informed by the city. Anybody that sort of spent any time here knows it's a city of sort of extremity and sexual frontier in some ways. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that goes on in the comic is represented, you know, sort of by what I've observed since living here.
Awesome.
So that's cool. So you've also been nominated for some awards, if I remember correctly.
Yes, which is something of a surprise. The Ignatz Award, which is named after a character created by George Harriman from the Crazy Cat comics of, I think it was like the early, like 1913, 1940s, somewhere around there. I think it ran in newspapers. But Ignatz Mouse was the sort of foil for a Crazy Cat. And yeah, it's an award for indie publishers exclusively, people that self-publish or their comics are released via, trying to think, like Fantagraphics or some of the smaller comic book publishers, not Image or Marvel or DC. So yeah, that was quite a nice surprise. I didn't expect it at all. But it's exciting. I mean, it's particularly exciting for me because they do nominate all sorts of work, but I mean, this work is very, to me, very specific. You know, it's not only queer, but it's sort of dealing with the bear condition. So it's nice to kind of see something that's so small kind of get recognized.
Congratulations on that. Awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you also are getting a little press this month in 100% Beef, too, aren't you?
Yes. I think I was excited when they approached me because, yes, they very much like show very Barry type guys, but I like the title. You know, is not Bear specific, but it does suit. You know,
it just
Oaf
suits
to a
it.
Tea.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just sort of like, you know, the character itself on the comic doesn't. The words bear and gay and queer actually aren't even in there anywhere. But you know, it's undeniable that he's all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice that those folks saw. I think one of my readers pushed me forward to them, and they contacted me. But yeah, it's the August-September number 44, which I think just came out like within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it should still be on stands. But yeah, there's a really cool interview in there and a bunch of very large illustrations.
I know.
Some of them are sort of over the top. I think, you know, knowing like what magazine it was in, they picked pictures that would play to the rest of what was in there. So they picked like one of the few nude pictures of Oaf that I have, which is sort of an unconventional nude centerfold, and then a couple other really kind of,
but there's no nude Ed in there, is there? No.
unfortunately no. Or maybe fortunately, I don't know. So they just wanted a couple pictures. I think what I had said to one of you before when we were emailing was like, I'm only about like maybe 71% Beef, so I didn't like quite make it to the 100%. If there was 72% Beef or 71 or whatever magazine, then I would probably have been asked.
Well, I remember after the panel, the gay and lesbian panel at Comic-Con, they were all up on you, so.
Were they?
Yes, they were. I couldn't even. I barely got in there.
It was all like, a blur. It was all a blur.
They were all up on Ed's jock, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm, I bet. And
well, where were they going to go? To Peter David? I mean,
well,
but you know, Comic Con is the bear run for that month. It's like a bear run already. And
is it? I noticed there were a lot more guys, I would say, of my sort of realm of interest than I was expecting.
Yes,
it was really cool.
It is the from talking to the guys that I met out there and hang out with, it is the unofficial bear run. that they all go to, and they pick, and the stories of them picking up these straight guys that don't realize they're gay yet.
Really? Wow. Well, that too, I was very surprised, because a couple of them came up to my booth. They saw the shirt, and this one guy in particular, he was just very sweet and, like, you know, was immediately attracted to the black T-shirt design with him in the Speedo. And he said, God, I look just like that for Halloween. I dressed up like Mark Spitz, and I looked exactly like him. And he was like he was the Oaf, basically, with like an Abe Lincoln beard and sort of, you know, longish hair. And I was like, oh, cool. Are those online anywhere?
We want to see that.
And he was, yeah, I think that threw him off. He was like, I think so, on Facebook. And he answered very genuinely, and then I think he realized why. And he very politely gathered his merch. He bought like a shirt and a couple comics and had me sign them, and then was like, well, bye.
Awesome. Like, oh. I noticed when I was there, a lot of people kind of cruise that booth. I'm like, oh, cool. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
What happened
was, right after he left, one of the guys that was next to me, actually I think it was Cena Grace or one of his friends, said to me, oh, that guy is so hot. It's too bad he's straight. Like, they had already
He's probably Cena Grace. He's not crashing at your house this week, is he? He's in San Francisco with you this week. So.
Oh, no, I didn't know that at all. No, we sort of had our interaction at Comic-Con, and then I haven't heard from him since. But
yeah, he's sleeping from couch to couch or bed to bed in San Francisco. I don't know exactly how he's working it, but he's there this week. So, but I have a question. Are you going to reprint any of the Wobble Oaf Money Shot special?
I'm not. I hate to say it. That was a little experiment that I did, and I actually printed it and assembled it and stapled it and hand-cut it to comic book format myself. Because it had a spot color, and everywhere we went to go get estimates for it, it was so outrageously expensive that I figured, oh, I'll just do it myself. Such a headache. I will never, ever do it again. If someone wants to reprint it with the color, the spot color in it, then sure, I will, you know, down the line, I will definitely do it. But that was part of sort of the specialness of that story, was like, I only did 200. Once the 200 ran out, I said, okay, that's the end of it, because it was a nightmare to try and produce.
It'll be a rare commodity now. It'll be an eBay
collector's item.
Wow.
Well, sure. The centerfold, which I think a lot of the people were after, that, you know, that's in the 100% beef that's out right now. And, you know, there's potential for that, like the individual stories to be reprinted, but I don't think as a single issue anymore. Like I said, unless somebody else wants to put it together and print it for me.
Okay. That's awesome. So how about the websites? Right now you have wobbleoaf.com, right?
Yeah.
So what can we see there when people visit it?
That's primarily sort of the shopping
site
for me. Yeah. I at some point I might fuse the blog, which you mentioned, on LiveJournal, which is Bear Bait on LiveJournal. You know, I might embed that into a website, but we just wanted to get something up so that people could buy the T-shirt without, you know, any difficulty, and the comics themselves, and the sort of now a kind of line of merchandise has come out of it. Like, there's mugs and some of the special editions of the comics have posters and lollipops and things like that. So that's all available on there. And then the, like I said, the LiveJournal is more sort of my week to week, month to month kind of place to announce things.
I see.
Let people know what's going on.
It's very useful. Wow.
On the store, you got art for sale. Are all these drawings of yours that you did?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, there's sort of the comics and things are there, but also original art. The gory details thing that I released at Comic-Con had, it was sort of like an official handbook of the Marvel Universe, and it had profiles. It was a fusion of that and like online profile sites, essentially, where you get like personal tidbits about the characters. And the original drawings from that, the full body illustrations, were on sale. It still are. I think the major characters are gone, and some characters that are going to be debuting in the second issue are up there now. Of course, nobody wants them because nobody knows who they are yet, but hopefully soon, you know, they'll establish themselves.
Well, Eiffel's kind of cute.
I think Oaf is cute. You can have Eiffel. I'll have Oaf.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I mean, really, the thing I wanted to do with the comic was represent a bunch of different body types and a bunch of different type of characters. A lot of what I see, especially in erotic comics, is very homogenous. Like, there's, you know, all muscle dudes, and really only their skin color and hair color differentiate them. But, I mean, in especially represented in the drawings that we're talking about, there's definitely, like, a span of, you know, big guys and little guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, goes back to, like, what the comic is about. But I also wanted to include older characters. There aren't a lot of comic book characters in their 50s and 60s, especially gay comic book characters that,
right,
you know, do anything other than provide, like, drama when they die or something like that. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. Yeah. And then some Black Lantern comes back and raises him from the dead. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. God, I don't know if we'll ever have our
Blackest Night Oaf issue, but yeah.
What a crossover right there. That's awesome. That could happen. But, okay, so... where can people primarily get your stuff if you're going to check out your artwork and stuff? It's all on that website, right? On WobbleBoof.
Yes.
Okay.
WobbleBoof.com.
All right. Okay. WobbleBoof.com.
We'll post that in the show notes so everybody that's listening can go look at the website.
All right. So everybody out there, check out WobbleBoof.com. Get your gear on and join the Show Me Bears from St. Louis, Missouri on November 12th to 15th for Hibernation. With an all-stars theme, the event offers many great activities and events for bears and bear lovers alike. So if you're into sports or sports gear or just hanging out with the hot bears from around the world, come to St. Louis, Missouri for Hibernation. Visit showmebears.org for more information. I do have a question.
Okay.
I do have a question. How do you get into the Prism Comics? How do you get become a member? Just
sign sure.
Up?
So I think their only requirement is that depending on what you can put a profile under any number of headings, essentially. Like there's a web comics profile section. There's a print comics. There's writer. I'm trying to think like an erotic comic section. But all you really have to do is produce for them, you know, some samples of your work, upload it to the site, and they will kind of, you know, you fill out sort of a traditional profile. I'm not sure exactly what the guidelines are. I mean, it would be prismcomics.org if anybody wanted to check that out specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they're so open and full of a lot of great energy, and you know, you guys saw at Comic-Con, they are just really supportive.
Yes.
You know, every time there's a convention in town, especially the bigger ones, I sign at that table, and you know, they really provide an excellent platform. I can't say enough good things about them. And they have a queer press grant, a yearly grant that they award, as they sort of put it, significant artists in the queer comics genre. And it varies, the amount varies, but everybody, you know, that uses queer characters is invited to apply. You don't actually have to be queer yourself to do it, but you have to be sort of using queer characters in your work. And it's just, it's excellent. They really do a great job in promoting. You know, they get that excellent spot at Comic-Con. They usually always are adjacent somewhere to DC, DC Comics, booth. So yeah, they're excellent.
That's awesome.
I can't think of good things about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps out for the bears that they're usually close to the food too.
Yeah. Well, that was great. What was great about Comic-Con is we were right near the bathrooms and the food, and a nice big eating area. So even if you're just kind of casually sitting there eating and you looked over, you saw us, and you know, you were invited to check it out, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Maynard, does this mean instead of having chaser shows, we're going to have a bait show now?
Bait show. That's what we have. You know what, Ed? You just mentioned bear bait because that's what I kind of think about my partner sometimes. Because, you know, okay, fine. When I go to bear runs, you know, I'm not really the because I'm a small guy. I'm a small Filipino guy, and just walk around. I generally, you know, don't get to talk to people. But if my partner is there, they will talk to my partner, Mike. He's my bear bait. That's what I. That's why when you said you're. You know, he's more like a bear bait. Yeah, so that really thought of my partner, Mike.
Well, Yeah, definitely. When I first moved to San Diego in the late 90s to go to grad school at UC San Diego, I didn't really have, I wasn't really aware of the Bear community or anything like that. And I remember going to Tower Records and seeing the old version of Bear magazine. And I was like, what is this? You know, I picked it up and at first I was kind of overwhelmed by the whole concept of, you know, animal themed identity.
But the true furries.
Yeah. But it was like, okay, here's a one-stop shopping kind of culture for the type of guy that I like. And I could kind of admit to myself that I not only liked hairy guys and bearded guys, but heavier guys as well. Mm-hmm. It was like all right there in those pages. So, you know, what I was seeing in there too was like predominantly it's those type of guys are only into each other, and I wasn't represented in there anywhere, mm-hmm. which is kind of a bummer. And I gradually learned about chasers and admirers, but that always just sounded really passive to me. And I was, my experience from my little dabblings at going to like the Eagle there and you know, certain bar nights there was like, it wasn't a passive experience for me. I was getting picked up and tossed around and like manhandled yeah. and, you know, it was weird. So a lot of my work in grad school was about my tenuous relationship with this. And I grew my first beard, you know, during that time and gradually sort of became more predatory. So I kind of learned
you learned quick.
Yeah. And I my MFA show was about portraits of guys, you know, bear guys smoking pipes. Mm-hmm. And I, at the same time, was going to school with this woman who's very interested in doing video series about fat, just to how fat is shown in our culture and represented in our culture. And the two of us together went to a bear night, and she started calling me her bait so to get these bear guys to come up to talk to us so she could interview them.
Oh.
So it kind of came out of there.
It works. That's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What I'm going to say, your shirt, by the way, Ray got me one of the OAF shirts with the, you know, jockstrap. Actually, a couple of weeks ago when there's another artist that we had in the show. His name is Hans. He's actually Bear Art on Facebook. And he's got an art gallery. And he did.
I think I'm familiar with him, yeah.
Yeah, he did a, it's called Experimenting with Bears. And he has lots of bear art there, lots of, he's got pictures of Kendall made into artwork, and he drew lots of guys even having sex and stuff like that. So, yeah, we were there, and actually, I was wearing your shirt when we were recording that video. It's a video podcast that we did a couple of weeks ago, so you better check that. It's pretty cool that there are so many people in the bear community that are really involved into art and either photography or videos or movies, and now with having their own galleries, and in your case you have comic books.
Yeah, I think I said something where in the 100% beef thing where I think it's opening up. You know, there are people that are really into expressing themselves via this sort of aesthetic, you know, commonality. God, I just sounded like grad school there. or like my old professor days. But yeah, I mean, it's wonderful. There's that bear flavored catalog that got put out a couple years back that sort of really explores representations of bears in popular culture and art. I think, isn't there a movie? I can't remember the name of it. I remember
Baron the movie.
Well, is that sounds more like a documentary. Is
Yeah.
True? Okay, no, this is like a work of fiction.
Bear Cub, Cachorro. Is that it?
No, this is newer. It hasn't been made yet.
Oh, the Bear City. I think it's Bear City in Bear City the movie, something like that. Yeah.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, that's gonna like split it wide open. You know, as far as the Bear Cub movie was great, but it was a very small sort of art house thing, and I think the fact that it was Spanish, if I'm not mistaken, you know, everybody I knew went to go see it, but I think since this was an American movie on the subject, that maybe, you know, it'll reach an even wider audience, at least in America.
That's true. Actually, I think it will.
Yeah, so it's exciting to see that, but so this gallery, is that's in Europe? Is that in... the Bear Gallery that you guys are talking
about? No, it's here in Houston.
It's here in Houston.
Oh, it's in Houston. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's
yes.
outstanding. I wish I had spent more time in Houston. I've only been there a handful of times, and I didn't really get a good sense of like what was going on
yeah.
there. But that's outstanding.
Yeah. It's in the Montrose area, in the gay area here. And it's pretty cool. He sold about 11 paintings already when he did the opening night last month.
Maybe we need to hook two of y'all up because I know you want to take the stuff on the road. So
yeah.
maybe we hook y'all up and you can introduce him to some people in San Fran that he can do a show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
and vice
sure.
versa.
I know plenty of people here that produce work like that. There's also, too, I'm trying to think of, are you guys familiar with the Beard Love guy, Sean Johnson?
Oh.
He has a beard rubbing video.
I saw that. Wait, Ray,
yes.
we saw that. We saw that.
Yes.
There was a presentation here in the Colton Gallery.
When they did the whole Steve Miller show.
Yeah,
too.
Steve Miller was here, and he had his photography here. And the beard, yeah. It's kind of it's interesting because, you know, there's two guys rubbing their beards together and making the sound. Then that's primarily it's about, right? We saw it, but it's really just guys rubbing beards.
Yeah, it's weird,
weird.
Because I was asked to do a couple and with this guy. And it's interesting because it's something that could easily have evolved into more than just rubbing. You know, the sensations are very intense. But the most interesting thing for me about it is that it's predominantly younger guys. A lot of people associate bears with older guys, and I think, you know, within the last 5 years or so, like, people are, you know, cub culture, let's call it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like to call them bear brats.
Bear brats.
Bear brat culture has really exploded. I say that affectionately, but in that Pinups magazine as well, Christopher Schultz is another guy that's really kind of exploring the younger side of being bearish, let's say. So he's a good guy to check out, too.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, we'll check it out. Just in San Francisco. Actually, you know what? I have family there. I might be there in October.
Oh, if you're ever in town, yeah, by all means, like, drop me a line.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I'll probably be, I don't know if I can go to the bars, but, you know, it's a family thing. But, yeah, it's...
Sure.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Come on. Take your mom to the bar.
Yeah, that's right. Mom, let's go to the Eagle.
Don't bring her on Sunday afternoon, whatever you do.
Why not?
That's the wrong night.
is that the Planet Big? No, wait. It's a beer bus or something?
It's a beer bus,
oh.
Yeah. All manner of unsavory things break out on Sunday afternoon. And the Lone Star, for that matter. They're, you know, they're within blocks of each other, so.
Okay.
Becomes this whole circuit thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, Ed, do you and your partner own a store there?
Me and I actually have a collaborator, Matt.
Okay.
And my partner, Mark, yes, he sort of is the third kind of unseen voice. But, yeah, we recently, I think it was in May, opened a vintage zine shop called Goat Blood. And Goat Blood also happens to be the name of the comics sort of publishing company that we are self-publishing title. But this is just Goat Blood. And his name is Matt Wobensmith. He procures and sells vintage zine stuff from before 2000. But because he's sort of my business partner and has a stake in sort of the financial side of the OAF, he also has installed the OAF boutique, which for the first show we had, it carried a lot of the original art, but it also at all times has the full line of T-shirts and mugs and comics and things as well.
Okay.
I can't wait to have action figures.
I know.
That would be awesome.
Well, are you guys familiar with the Muni, Money dolls? They're like little blank vinyl dolls. Like, they come in a couple different colors, and you can draw on them with markers.
Oh, okay.
I made a baby oaf out of one of those once. With little toes and a nose made out of, like, little clay bits. And, that's the closest I've ever come. But, you know, I would love to do vinyl toys. I mean, that's, again, something that or action oafs or whatever.
Well, maybe Mattel will pick it up, and oaf can be her new bear.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. I would totally be up for that. You know, yeah. Anybody out there that knows any toy modeling people, like,
that's right.
I would definitely lend the likeness for sure. It's That'd funny you should mention that because I periodically get approached about sex toys, like an oaf.
A full-size life oaf doll?
Well, no, it's more like a dildo. Like a couple times this guy has said, you know, he's contacted me. He, if he's listening, I actually, the last email I have yet to respond. I've fallen down on the job with that. But he was saying he would love to sculpt a dildo for the oaf.
The oaf dildo.
I sort of, you know, he sent me his link and you know, we chatted back and forth a little bit before I dropped the ball, but you know, he was totally legitimate and I could kind of start to see what it might look like. Just kind of blows my mind that there'd be a dildo before there'd be toys.
Yeah. That goes out.
Well, first. Dildos are toys.
That's right.
That's true. I meant like action figure toys. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you know, I could hear you, Phineas. You know, I created this great comic and all these comics, and you know what sells? The dildo.
This freaking dildo.
That's true. It always comes out first, yeah. Wow. But anyway, well, Ed, so thank you very much for being in the show. And,
absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been great. I hardly ever get to talk about this stuff with anybody but my close friends. And if you guys were at Comic-Con, you know it was all about Wonder Woman that day.
So oh, really?
It was all about Wonder Woman, yes.
Yeah, I didn't really get to talk about the intricacies of things. So I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, and I hope next year I could go this time. I haven't gone for the past 2 years. I've always wanted to go to Comic-Con, but there's always something during July that I couldn't go myself. But hopefully next year I can go. Yeah.
Well, I'll look for you, definitely. I had such a great time. That was my first Comic-Con period, I had a blast, even though I was only there for 2 days.
Yes.
Definitely be there in force next year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'll try it. Okay, so thank you very much, Ed, and we'll keep in touch, and good luck, and congratulations to all your awards.
Thank you, definitely. All right, take care, guys.
Take care, thanks.
All right, thanks, Ed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
How about a voicemail?
Greetings to Gear Podcast and Denard and the Gear Podcast listeners from Ron Serratia. I have restarted Bear Soup, and I just wanted to say thanks so much for the great job you've done over the past 2 years since you came on BearRadio.net. Love you always. Take care. Bye.
All right, that was a voicemail from Ron Serratia. Thank you so much for the support, and thank you also for, you know, getting us connected to Bear Radio. And it's awesome to be in the Bear Radio family.
Yes.
Yes, that's awesome. Thank you, Monsteration, for the voicemail. And he's back. He's back. Yeah, guys, check him out on iTunes. He's continuing Bear Soup. Yeah, so check it out. Okay, so, we just finished our interview with Ed, and it's great. Like I said, I want to go to Comic-Con next year, and I hope I can make it this time, and probably meet him. He's gonna be there, I hope. And are you planning next year, or is this gonna be a pilgrimage for you every year now to go to Comic-Con?
Oh no, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, it all depends. The biggest thing is fun. You know, if the listeners want to fund my trip to Comic-Con, I'm all about that. Yeah. You can make donations at BearPodcast.com.
Yeah, that's right. send checks and money orders.
They are not tax deductible, but you know, we would appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how about some movie reviews? What have you seen lately?
I saw Nine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what can you say about it? I saw Nine a couple of days ago too. So, what is your take on it?
I don't think it was a bad movie. It wasn't what I was expecting exactly, and I don't know right now if I can say what I was expecting, but I was expecting more maybe. But it was very well done, very short, but don't waste your money going to pay $9 to go see it at the movie theater. Wait for it to come out on DVD.
What an endorsement! Awesome.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, it's nice sitting on that big screen, but you know, I could have sat here and watched it on my big screen TV and been just as nice in high definition.
They're gonna do something like that. It's not even as sophisticated as Up, or
yeah.
Or if it were a 3D show, yeah, I would really watch it on the screen.
I mean, I don't regret it, but I just expected more. And it was a short movie. I think it was only like 70 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, to me, I kind of really didn't like it. No, it's probably a 3 out of 10 for me. Fine, 4, borderline 4. Because, you know, I didn't like the story at all. I mean, I know it's like, how did I describe it? It's like a David Lynch movie that is dumbed down for kids. You know, that's how I take it. So, although, yeah, you're right. People should just wait for it on DVD. So, yeah, that's for me. That's just me. You guys listening, just go watch it if you want. If you like the trailer, if you like the there's not much really good effects on it. So. Because it's, you know, it's animated, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was good animation. I liked it. I mean, I thought all that was good. It's just a story. It just wasn't enough there for me.
Yeah, it's not enough. I mean.
And there's some stuff, you know, for that being like a kid show, aimed toward more kids, that some of the stuff they showed in there I wasn't too comfortable with. Because there's some very adult stuff that I don't think little kids should be seeing. And I'm sure a lot of little kids got taken to see this.
Or maybe they're trying to do that to introduce kids into some of those, that kind of violence.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe just, so. You know, it's very, very subtle that not everything is a piece of cake. Not everything is a bed of roses. Maybe that's how they're trying to do. Because it's kind of sad, the whole thing is. But the whole thing is sad. But I don't know. That's how I take it. I don't know if you want to endorse it, really, but who are we anyway? We're just talking about a movie.
We're nobody.
Okay, what else do we have? Oh, one more thing. I want to talk about Dollhouse. Have you seen Dollhouse yet? No. Do you want to?
I watched the first disc. I forgot to line them up correctly on Netflix. So I watched the first disc and sent it back and got a movie. So I got to send it back so I can get the disc, get caught up on it. So
okay, just let me know if you're towards the end so we can analyze the last episode. Yeah. Because the last episode for that season is really awesome, because it makes you really think about the future and what the future of Dollhouse is. And I don't know if any of the listeners watch it, but I just like Dollhouse. And you know, it's sci-fi. But the only sci-fi there is the chair. Don't you think so?
It's kind of like Quantum Leap.
Yeah, that's true. Quantum Leap is like, what's the sci-fi in Quantum Leap?
Yeah,
the communicator.
It's more storytelling, which is fine. I mean, you know, and so I like it. What'd you think about Glee? I hope everybody's seen
Oh
Glee.
God, it's the gayest thing, but it's fun. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's I watched it with you guys. I just watch it all on Hulu, on Hulu.com. So that's what I've been watching it with.
Yep. Has anybody seen Vampire Diaries?
No, not yet. Do you like it?
It's okay. It's got to get going good. You know, I mean, it's more of those preteen, it's more of those young adult type things. But you know, however you say his last name, needs to quit playing teen roles, because
he's not a teen.
He's not a teen. He can't pull off a teen anymore. He's very good looking. He's a very good looking young man. I'd do him in a heartbeat, but you can't pull off being a teenager anymore. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought he's got.
You're not Tom Welling. Sorry, you know.
Oh, Tom Welling, Smallville. What's up with that now? Is he gonna fly ever?
I don't know. I'm hoping they put him in a cape and a big old S on his chest and get him hopping around.
Where's the blue tights? He's still wearing jeans and red jacket. No, okay. It should be tights, underwear outside, red underwear outside the tights,
yellow belt.
Yellow belt. And a red cape.
Yeah.
We're waiting for that. So.
So there's, well, they're hinting at it. The season that opened, I think it starts the 25th. I think it was 25th, September 25th is when it starts, because they moved it to Fridays now. So.
Oh, that's right. Oh, it just reminded me, September 25th. I think that's around the time when Modern Family is coming out too.
Yeah, I think it comes out that week. So.
Yeah.
There's also that show. Is it Fast Forward?
Fast Forward. I think I know what you're talking about.
It's the show. I think it's ABC that's doing it, where everybody on the
Flash
Earth blacks
forward?
Flash Forward, where everybody blacks out for two minutes and 15 seconds, and they wake up and they start seeing flashes of stuff they've done in the future.
Wow. Now that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so that looks interesting. So, yeah. Supernatural's back.
Mm-hmm. They're thinking about these new concepts of sci-fi as opposed to remaking stuff. Oh, I don't like it when they remake. Okay, they did a good job with Battlestar Galactica. All right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know about the upcoming V. They're going to do V Alienation, right?
Yeah, Alienation. So, yeah. I wish somebody, one of my favorite shows that I've always liked is Lost in Space.
Mm-hmm. They're going to remake that, right?
Well, they remade it to a movie that I really like, the Lost in Space movie, because it had William Hurt in it. And a pretty good cast, but they basically, and they kind of modernized it some, but I wish somebody take that concept of Lost in Space and expand it. Mm. I mean, you had this little group of family, but expand that and make it a little more controversial, a little more darker, a little more dramatic, because the show in the 60s was serious and kind of talked about some serious issues, but it was very kind of slapstick to me.
Oh, back then.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I think it could be updated and made a very cool storyline, but we'll see. The sad thing is they tried to do that because they did a pilot episode and it didn't work out. So that's the part of the set for Lost in Space. The pilot episode was used in Battlestar Galactica. It was the bridge of the
they
Pegasus.
Reused it. Oh.
Yeah, they reused it. So because they had it sitting on there on the sets, and they're like, hey, can we rent this? Sure.
Might as well, right?
Might as well.
Do a little bit of paint job and you're good to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So.
Wow. Anyway, hey, let's wrap this up. We're probably almost an hour, I think.
Okay.
I'm not so sure. Anyway, what are you going to do this week?
What am I going to do this week? Unpack.
Unpack. That's right.
Unpack. So.
Good luck on that one. Okay. I don't know yet if I'm going to go to New Orleans. I'm not so sure, but we shall see. Yeah, and guys, I have a suggestion. Guys, check out Nardville. Nardville on YouTube. I posted a video about Kanye West. Go to youtube.com/Nardville.
You lie!
No, I didn't lie. No, I didn't lie. No, I just grabbed someone's microphone. So anyway, okay. So thank you everyone for listening. And if you want to contact us, send your emails to nard@bearpodcast.com.
Or ray@bearpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And call our voicemail line. What's the voicemail line, Ray?
206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes. Call us and we'll play it in the show. Yeah. And visit the website. The official website is bearpodcast.com. Subscribe via iTunes and friend us on MySpace, Twitter, and... what else? Facebook. Yeah, keep forgetting Facebook. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will catch you guys next week. Many whoops and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.